Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Motocross Training Podcast. Joel Youngkins here, and in today's episode, we are going to talk about the 2023 Supercross season, the last man standing. So if you've been following along for my channel for some time now, you'll kind of understand that I like to make content that is sort of timeless, so that whether you're listening to it today or 20 years from now, the same kind of message or concept will still mostly hold true for the most part. So that's usually my aim, but today I'm going to kind of break my rules a little bit, and we're going to talk about a current event that just happened over the weekend, which was the Denver Supercross, the second to last round. I'm assuming everybody watched it, to where we saw that Eli Tomac ruptured his Achilles tendon. And yeah, Chase Sexton is going to become the next Supercross champion here in 2023. So kind of ironic, kind of like a lot of irony with this season and kind of the way it ended. I mean, first off, you have Chase Sexton, number 23, going to win in 2023. But it's also funny that, you know, Chase, you know, he's the person that all year long, he was someone that was kind of looked at as like, oh, he's the fastest guy, but he's the most inconsistent. To where really, like, at the end of the year, it's kind of ironic because he actually became the most consistent by not, by withstanding the length of the season. Like, he was the last man standing because of his consistency. And what's even more ironic is that, you know, he was the fastest guy week in and week out, but, you know, he had a lot of crashes. And, you know, statistically, you know, I don't know the exact statistics, but like just watching it as a fan, every racer has like a small window of crashes that they have that eventually one of them crashes are going to take you out. Now, we know that like not all crashes are created the same. There's tip overs, there's the bike slamming you to the ground, there's you slamming yourself to the ground, there's, you know, being flung over the bars. Many different ways to crash and hurt yourself. So that's kind of where things really, like, the waters get murky. But, you know, let's be real. If you look back over the years, every rider has this, like, you're going to get away with a couple crashes, but eventually it's going to take you out. Sometimes it's the first crash of the season. It'll sideline the person. And next thing you know, they have a torn ACL and they're getting surgery by week four. But in Chase's situation, he led a lot of laps. He had a lot of crashes while leading or being up front, riding, like having a lot of weird crashes that just looked like it caught him off guard and threw him down. But, you know, Chase was probably hurt at different points of the season, but he never got injured. And, you know, that's a huge testament to, I would say, him and his physical prep work. You know, I know his trainer is Peter Park, who I believe does a good job. I don't know exactly what he does, but I have read his book when I came out of college. It's called Foundation. And Peter Park's worked with a lot of people, like Lance Armstrong. I know he worked with Chad Reed. I'm not sure what other racers, but, you know, kind of from the outside looking in, I can kind of get like a quick visual of, you know, sort of what I think's going on in a training program by just a few clips or a couple interviews or just a few little thoughts. And I can kind of make sort of a judgment of how I think it's going down. And, you know, the way I see Chase train is similar to how my philosophy is, you know, we need to train racers as athletes, not as, you know, cyclists or runners or triathletes. We need to train them as a racer and as an athlete. So he works on, obviously does conditioning. He's working on a lot of strength training, a lot of movement-based training. And, you know, there's a million other variables to kind of consider, which we're not going to get into, but just assuming that they have a halfway decent approach to this. You know, it looks like he's doing a lot of the right things. And to me, that's the future of the sport, is how he's training. You also see Ken Roczen training this way as well. At least this is sort of the, you know, kind of the two people that come to mind that I that actually post stuff that I can kind of get any sort of judgment on, a, you know, so to speak. But, you know, like, for example, like, Tomac, I honestly don't know what he does. I know his dad, like, they mountain bike, but that's really all I can really say as far as what I, what I would know of what Tomac does for his physical prep. But yeah, really, you know, kind of a shout out and testament to those guys for keeping Chase in the game and kind of like flipping the script here at the last minute. Now, I know that Tomac and Webb, you know, they were first and second in points, and then Webb gets hurt, and the next week Tomac gets hurt. But, you know, those two injuries are very unfortunate. Obviously, Webb has a concussion. Tomac snaps his Achilles tendon. And, man, like, you know, those are just things that, you know, a good or bad training program wouldn't really necessarily prevent. Those things happen. So I'm not sitting here saying, hey, Chase has it all figured out, and these guys don't. They don't put the work in. I'm 1,000,000% not saying that. But I'm just sort of painting a picture for you to, like, for you to hopefully understand for yourself that, hey, like, I need to take my physical prep more seriously, or, hey, it's a good thing I am taking it serious, because we know there's a very good statistical chance that you're going to fall. And if you fall enough, you're eventually going to get hurt. So if you want to, like, if you want to help put statistics on your side, by taking your physical prep work serious and not just relying on cycling or hitting the rowing or mountain biking to help your body withstand the length of a grueling season, you know, you're definitely going to want to incorporate other things like strength training, and like structurally putting your body together. But you know, with that, like, I also will say, like, Chase Sexton is also, I think, deserving of this championship. I know that, you know, this has happened to him before with Austin Faulkner. But Austin Faulkner was way faster than Chase back in, I think, was it 2019? Chase just, again, kind of happened where Chase capitalized on his injury right at the end of the season. And, but this one, in my opinion, I think was Chase's to lose anyways. He was the fastest guy week in and week out. I think if you take away those crashes and he just assumes goes on to win the races, you know, again, I'm not sitting on my free time, like, figuring out, like, all the different, like, what ifs during the year, but I'm assuming he would have had a pretty good points lead if he would have just won the races he crashed, you know, and things like that. Like, to me, it was his to lose anyway. So Tomac was deserving, so was Sexton. You could probably make an argument that Webb also should have, you know, had a, he was consistent all year as well, but that's racing. That's just, like, you know, it's the way it goes. We've watched this over and over again. But in my opinion, Chase was the fastest dude, to ride, and I think it was his to lose at the end of the day. So, you know, we saw a lot of racers, you know, obviously, like, the field's more depleted than it ever has been. There's three factory races, which racers left, which is kind of ironic, where, again, we have Chase, who, he's the one that's crashed his brains out all year, who's going to win the championship. You have Ken Roczen, who has struggled with health issues since he's broke both of his, well, he did break both arms, but his 2017 crash, you know, coming back, having all these illnesses and things like that since then, he's a factory racer. Then you have Adam Cincirillo, who's also has been injured the past couple years and fighting to just, like, kind of, I guess, you know, rebuild his career, as they say. So you have the three people that, you know, have really kind of, like, been on the struggle bus, and you would kind of assume they would be out first. They're the last ones, you know, standing in this series as far as factory racers go. So I think that's pretty ironic. You know, but a lot of people got hurt, so that's also not good. So, like, do I have opinions on how to, like, make the sport safer? I had a little bit of opinion that I think got disproved this year. I thought that if the tracks were actually more technical, like, where the jumps were steeper and they let the tracks kind of get a little more rutted up, It would slow the pace down of the race, and actually, like, so when people did crash, they wouldn't be going as fast because there wouldn't be like a triple quad crash. It would be like a double or a triple crash, because like you can't, it's not as like, I'm not the one out there racing, but to me it looks like, you know, like if the jumps are built steeper, it's obviously going to be harder to quad something because you're not going to have as much momentum and speed moving in a direction. So if you steepen the jumps up, it'll allow you to jump not as far. And this will just overall just keep the speeds down of the race, kind of like the old school tracks were. But maybe it's just the fact that like the whoops, like they don't really prep the track that much during the race. You also have the four strokes, like they tear the track down so much. So obviously, you know, my theory there was a little disproven because more people got hurt than ever. And I thought the tracks were kind of going back towards a little more that old school vibe of, hey, the jumps faces are a little more steeper now. And like the overall tempo looked a little slower. So yeah, I don't know what you do with the tracks. You know, a way I think that you could make, you know, racing safer and to have less people get hurt. I think the sport's also moving in a direction where you're going to want to start looking at maybe specializing racers, where like you have racers that only race motocross, you have racers that only do supercross. And with that, maybe make, I know they're doing the whole like super motocross thing, but like I think there just needs to be a way where you have like a motocross season and certain racers do that. And then you have racers do only a supercross and either do like less races altogether or take them same amount of races and spread them out so that there's more recovery time between races. You know, if like for a 450 racer to race on Saturday, fly home, then have to train and practice during the week, get back on a plane, fly to the race, race, fly home. Like when you get in that cycle, like it's, you know, I'm sure there's a ton of weeks where goes by where like when a racer comes, if they've had a rough weekend and like they're beat up, they had a hard crash, there's probably a lot of weeks go by where like racers do nothing other than just recover to make it to the next race. So I think if you can increase some recovery time, I think you would see improved performances on the weekends and maybe less crashing, because like when levels of fatigue and stress go up and as the season goes on, it's going to diminish performance no matter who you are. And it's probably going to happen to more of a degree to actually the higher performing racers, because their outputs are so much more greater than just your normal weekend warrior. So they're pushing their bike and their bodies way harder than most amateur racers ever will experience. So if anyone really needs the recovery, it's really the top athletes. In my opinion, just because their margins are so small. And I think if you can spread the races out, it would give them a chance to actually recover and come into each race fresh. Because if you're not doing that and you're not catching up on recovery, whether you just don't know any better or it's just like the season's catching up to you, your performance will decrease. Even by the slightest margins will cause you to fall and either your body's going to break down or you're going to fall and crash, you know, eventually if you're not keeping up on the recovery. And yeah, that's the athlete's responsibility. But at the same time, like, you know, I think the sport's changing to where people need to also look out for the health and safety of the racers. You know, that should always be on the forefront of, in my mind, like all the coaches, teams, promoters, like, that should be on the forefront of everyone's mind is, hey, how can we make it safer for our racer? Because they're not going to be the ones to speak up and want to think about like getting injured. You know, like they want to go to the starting line just thinking about competing and winning. In my opinion, it's everyone else's jobs to protect the racers from themselves. So I don't know, just some questions. Also, like, does physical prep need to improve throughout the field? You know, is the training good enough off the bike to keep these racers healthy so that they don't all crash out and leave the field depleted. I mean, we've been seeing this for a long time. The racing is getting more competitive. You know, the limits are being pushed, and, you know, more people are seeming to crash out of Supercross. So is that something that needs to be, people need to really kind of consider, reconsider and overhaul and maybe kind of change some things up? I don't know. Just questions. Always a lot of questions to answer, but just here to kind of like make observations. I want to kind of provoke questions and thought process for you to kind of digest and hopefully like, hey, how can we learn from the Supercross season to move forward for our own physical prep, you know, in the future, whether it's, you know, yourself, you know, maybe you have a daughter or a son who races, maybe, you know, you have a team of racers, like how do we take this information of, you know, kind of this irony that laid out through Supercross and how do we learn and grow from it as an industry as a whole, to kind of move the needle in a good direction. So just kind of opening up some thought processes and asking some questions, and yeah, maybe we'll figure it out all one day. So, but yeah, until then, catch you in the next episode, and be safe, keep riding, have fun. Later.